This is BI Radio.
What are we doing around design for the environment? Governments want industry to report on that. If it's not done right, recycling of products can be very problematic.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Is it real? Is it a fad?
Is this a fad? I get asked that a lot.
Well, I hope it's not a fad. It can actually significantly affect their bottom line.
There's a lot of value there, and that it's fundamentally a better way of doing business.
Hi there, and welcome to BI Radio. I'm Ken Seeley. On the show today, performance management goes green. We look at the link between changing climate and changing business conditions and the new green metrics that managers need in their scorecards. Delaney Turner learns about the life cycle of the BlackBerry and the connection between reporting and recycling. Our technology soup panel is back to separate fact from fad in the question of green IT. And first up, riding the green wave, Kelsey Howarth talks to best-selling author Andrew Winston about why green business is good business and the companies that are redefining the meaning of the word growth.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Howarth. How are environmental issues being handled in your company? Are they viewed as a cost center, a low priority, or a nice to have? For forward-thinking businesses, going green is a smart and profitable business move, and there's no better person to help lead the way than Andrew Winston. Winston is the co-author of the bestseller Green to Gold, which highlights what works and what doesn't when companies go green. He is also the founder of Winston Eco Strategies, where he works with leading companies to use environmental thinking to drive growth. He has consulted with startups and Fortune 500 companies such as Bank of America, Reuters, Coca-Cola, and IKEA. Winston has also written for or appeared in Time, Newsweek, Business Week, Forbes, ABC News, and many more. Here he joins me to discuss how smart companies are using environmental strategy to innovate, create value, and build competitive advantage. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Off the top, could you tell us a little bit about what the green wave is?
Sure. It's a sort of catchphrase we use to describe the pressure coming to bear on companies about their environmental performance, and I think the pressure coming to bear on society at large. And I see it as fundamentally two big forces. One is the natural world, just real changes we're seeing in the resources that are available for people and for companies, and things like climate change, obviously. And then the second big force are stakeholders, or the people that are asking questions about those environmental issues. And the stakeholders are getting, you know, much more diverse, much more powerful. There's lots of groups out there. They're not just, you know, nonprofits. They're you and me in different walks of life, as employees, as customers, as members of communities. And we're all starting to ask companies much tougher questions about how they're handling environmental and social issues. So those two things together are very powerful and are making it something that companies really have to deal with now.
You mentioned that we're just at the beginning. I think most people would agree that environmental and social responsibility is the right thing to do. But some companies are still making the business case for it. Can you share some of the compelling reasons why this is a smart business decision?
Well, sure. Part of it is this green wave, and I often, when I give talks about this topic and try to lay this out for companies, I really build to this point that there's no alternative anymore. This is where the business world is going, and companies have no choice. But I think that's almost a reactive reason. There's many more positive and proactive reasons to do this. And in the book, we talk about the four ways that companies create value, sort of four big buckets of value, and by thinking green and by using the environmental lens. And so companies are finding ways to cut costs and reduce risks, and those are the two areas that we've probably talked about for decades on some level, and companies sort of inherently understand. But the other two big buckets are driving revenues, you know, coming up with new products and satisfying customers, and building intangible value, this very tough to measure brand value. So, I mean, for me, the business case is really that there's a lot of value there and that it's fundamentally a better way of doing business, and companies are finding that, and in many industries. So, you know, it partly answers another question, which is, you know, is this a fad? I get asked that a lot. Is this just a bubble? And part of my answer is, well, no, because of the real natural world issues, and we've got real constraints. But even putting that aside, it's not really a fad, because as companies find that it's a better way of doing business and their costs are lower and they're driving revenues, why would they go back?
As I read Green to Gold, certain words jumped out at me, words like scorecards, metrics, and data. As a performance management software company, this is the world we live in. We help people make sense of their data. But I wonder how readily available is the data and metrics to properly monitor these activities?
I'd say by and large, the data's not available almost at all for most companies. I think it's an incredible opportunity, frankly, for software and some hardware companies to manage this new data challenge. And I know that, you know, software companies are jumping on this and realizing this in the last few months, and I'm going in part by, you know, how many calls I get from companies like yourself and others about, you know, what's going on in this? Can you come talk to us? Can you consult? You know, there's just this huge rise in interest in the last few months in the IT space in general, and I think in software. You know, again, companies like software companies probably felt environment isn't really our thing. You know, we don't use a lot of energy to make our products. We don't have a factory, you know. But they're realizing that the opportunity is there to sell a lot of products if they can help businesses solve these challenges. And, you know, a lot of companies, most companies, have almost no data on their environmental footprint. You know, they could close their financial books in a day and tell you last month, here's what our cash flow was to the penny. But if you ask them how much energy all their facilities used last month, they have no idea. And I think that's an incredible opportunity for tools to help them get a handle on it and manage to it.
A lot of our listeners are in the IT realm, and I wonder, what role can IT play in all this?
Yeah, you know, I think, as I, you know, as I said, it's an upside opportunity on some level, but IT also has to really look at its own footprint. Part of the reason the IT industry has been, you know, jumping on this green bandwagon lately is that some, you know, some data has come out, and it's become clear that information technology does use a tremendous amount of energy. There's been a lot of attention on specifically, you know, data centers and how much energy they really do use and how inefficient they are. You know, some of the data I've seen says, you know, roughly 4% of the energy going into a data center ends up processing something, which is what you want. You know, there's a lot going to cooling and space and idle servers. And so there's going to be, I think, a drastic increase in the expectations and the efficiency of running these kinds of data centers. And I think, again, software can play a huge role. I think IT is also going to have to look not just at energy, but look closely at the elements, the literal physical elements of their products and how toxic they are and what happens to the waste. And the EU and other regions are making those, you know, mandates so that companies look at their waste and figure out how to take back products and do something with them. So this is happening globally, and I think IT is going to have to look very seriously at what's in everything they make.
Now, you've answered all of my questions.
Okay.
But I want to know, are there certain things you really feel that people really need to know that we haven't covered?
You know, I try to leave people with the dual sense that, A, you have no choice, and this is where the world's going, and so you can compete on it or fall behind. But B, it's an incredible opportunity, so why not embrace it and take it on and find all the value that's there in making this a big part of your business. So, you know, just telling people that it's far more than just this side part of your business. It can be a key source of competitive advantage, and if you don't tackle that yourself, you'll find out that some competitors will. And this is, you know, this is it's a threat and it's an opportunity. So to take advantage of it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No problem. Glad to help.
For more insight on environmental issues, please check out the green edition of Cognos Performance Perspectives at cognos.com/newsletter/green. For more information on Andrew Winston and ways he can help you use environmental strategies to create enduring value, please visit andrewwinston.com.
Ready to accelerate your knowledge? Register now for Cognos Forum, our annual customer conference. More than 130 breakout sessions and one-of-a-kind networking. Plus, visit Performance World for partner exhibits, demos, and test drives of our latest products. It's all happening May 12th through 15th at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas. Register before March 21st and save $500. Accelerate your knowledge. Visit cognos.com/cognosforum for more details. That's cognos.com/cognosforum.
Interviews, insights, and opinions on performance management. You're listening to BI Radio.
Welcome back to BI Radio. I'm Ken Seeley. Now, green IT, fad or fact? Our technology soup panel explores energy concerns in the server room and whether or not it's all just hot air.
Hi, I'm Don Campbell, Chief Technology Officer.
I'm Stefan Jew, Technical Architect.
And I'm Andrew Cowell, Product Manager.
Today we want to talk about the topic of green IT. It's one of the trends coming certainly for 2008. We hear lots of, about it. Gartner's named it their number one strategic technology for 2008. So the question is, is it real? Is it a fad? Is it making a big difference to the world? Where do we stand on that?
It certainly has big potential difference that it could impact, so I hope it's not a fad. There's so much waste that seems to be going around. I think a study from one environmental services firm estimated that something like 2.5 billion metric tons of waste is produced every year. And so there's monetary and
general environmental.
environmental reasons to address this issue.
I was meeting with a company just last week, actually, that what they do is they help you measure your carbon footprint. And it helps you measure sort of as, personally, how much carbon do you generate when you drive to work or you use your stove or, you know, all of those kinds of things that you do. And they do it for corporations as well. And they say they're getting a big uptake in it from IT departments that are trying to understand, because they don't know all sort of the chemical elements of it, et cetera. They just want somebody to come in almost as a consultant and help them understand where they're being wasteful and where they can improve. And they claim that their customers are looking at this not just from a social standpoint, but also because it really can save money for the company.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you have servers sitting around powered up, doing absolutely nothing, and all they're doing is pumping up heat, second law of thermodynamics in action, it is a huge waste.
Right. Estimates peg it at something like 4% of actual CPU time is actually being used at any given time. That means 96% of it is being wasted. I guess that's where trends like virtualization as a software solution seems to really help. So even given the same hardware, it's nice to know that you could leverage that same hardware and maybe get a whole lot more value out of it in use.
So the hardware itself isn't using any less power. It's just using it more efficiently to do your business processing tasks, and therefore you need less of them powered up at any one time.
Right. It's also nice to see the same healthy trend on the hardware side. You know, looking at really identifying the amount of CPU power that you really need to do 90% of your chores and being able to do that in sometimes 1 to 2 watts of power. That's very low compared to where we've historically been.
Oh, there's a lot of laptops that'll burn your lap right off, and all you're really doing is browsing. And beyond the inefficiencies of power usage, there's also the whole life cycle issue of obsolete technology. I mean, what happens with old gadgets and old CRTs and, you know, horror stories of them being sent overseas and taken apart by barefoot kids just to pull copper out of
right.
Components. It's a it's a horrible story. And I think the longer life cycle you can have for some of these technologies, you're also benefiting that. If you can have a server last that much longer because mm-hmm. Maybe you buy it higher capacity and virtualize it to begin with, make it part of a grid and eke more out of it for a longer life cycle. The whole idea of reduce, reuse, recycle, try to do those first 2 R's first before you actually have to get rid of the hardware itself.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to any improvements in the battery space. There have been some recent developments in the last year or so, but nowhere near the revolution that I'd like to see. That seems to be the most wasteful part, at least right now, at least in the components that I carry around.
Very hard to get rid of some of these things. You can't just throw them in your garbage and let your municipal garbage truck pick them up.
Right. But again, there are companies stepping up now. There are many places that will take back old batteries and dispose of them properly, make sure they don't have an environmental negative impact and that it's all cleaned up.
Even the light in my projection television set went the other day and has mercury in it. And you can't just throw it out. So those kind of things, any kind of benefits we can get out of technology advancements to reduce the throwing away of these dangerous components would be great for the future. I know Sun's been talking about green systems for quite a while, and they're saying that it really makes a difference to not only the power that gets generated, but as you start to think about how to generate components and how to leverage power better, there is there's a savings to the business for sure, and an environmental savings. And they're saying that the cooler, of course, they can make components run, the faster they can push them, and therefore they can actually build better components that have better compute power. So everybody kind of wins out of a situation like that.
Yeah, unless they put all the effort into the cooling systems, which take that much more power and then just pump the leftover heat out into the atmosphere. I mean, some people are taking it really far. Google, for example, wanting to be basically carbon neutral is my understanding.
Right.
And taking it so far as, well, we consume a lot of power, and they do. It's a huge cost for them getting into the power business and trying to figure out ways that they can ethically produce the power that they need to run their system. So you could take this pretty far.
That's right. That's Google's RE less than C. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's the Renewable Energy Cheaper Than Coal initiative that they've recently announced, spending millions of dollars on solar and other renewable energy, putting millions of dollars where their mouth is, hiring scientists. So very interesting. Obviously, anything Google does, people tend to watch. But it's also nice to see IT departments actually even monitoring this, because starting to realize that it can actually significantly affect their bottom line. So even going through the process of identifying the metrics to use, looking at studies, how can I measure waste in an IT environment? It's very interesting to see those metrics starting to show up in reports.
So this becomes a performance management issue as well,
absolutely,
where you have to understand the strategy of the company and how it percolates down to everybody in the organization and how they participate in that strategy, et cetera. You can do that from a power consumption standpoint as well. You can put it in scorecards and you can manage it on a dashboard and you can run reports against it. And so there really is a play there for a performance management system to take this as one of the elements of a strong performing company.
Yeah, and the key there is it really is one of the elements. It looks like you just need a coordinated effort. But the good news is there's so many options available that people can use to optimize right now, just partially because we're doing so poorly, but I think also partially because this isn't going away. We're all still early, but we are heading in the right direction. And there seems to be, even over the last year, some significant progress and awareness being made.
So I guess when we're asking fad or not, we're saying it's not a fad. It's a fact of life for us here on this planet. We all better take it seriously. And it looks like organizations are, and companies are coming to the forefront and taking some leadership position there, which is all good. So we look forward to this trend continuing through 2008. So thanks very much to everyone. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Is performance management in your DNA? Cognos 8 version 3 is the DNA for performance evolution. Discover it online at cognos.com/DNA. See a demo of new features in Cognos 8 BI. discover new deployment capabilities, and explore other components of our complete performance management solution. Discover the building blocks for better decision-making today. Visit Cognos.com/DNA.
Insights on performance management from the people who shape the industry.
Hi, I'm Delaney Turner, editor of Cognos Performance Perspectives. And with me today is Jay Illingworth. Jay is Vice President of Electronics Product Stewardship Canada, or EPSC. Jay Illingworth, welcome to BI Radio.
Glad to be here.
Tell me first about briefly your organization and what it does.
Sure. EPSC is an industry organization that came together in 2003. We have more than 20 of Canada's largest manufacturers and brand owners of electronics, both consumer electronics and IT companies. We formed in 2003. We now have 24 members. Companies like in the television space, Panasonic and Sony. In the printer space, people like Lexmark and Canon. And in the computer space, people like HP, Dell, and IBM. And we were brought together specifically to focus in on end-of-life regulations.
Why is green important? Why does it matter to IT teams? Yeah.
I think for the IT sector, it's been a couple of things. First of all, the end-of-life part of the equation is a big one. Recycling and responsible recycling of electronics is one that's getting a lot of media attention mm-hmm. because, frankly, if it's not done right, the recycling of products can be very problematic. That's one part of it. Another part, I think, is the fact that our companies are starting to do a much better job in terms of what goes into the products at the front end and making sure they're paying attention to reducing hazardous materials and chemicals and those mm-hmm. sort of things and trying to make products, frankly, easier to recycle and reuse at the end of their life. So mm-hmm. it's from both sides that sort of that it's been happening. And the other part, I think, that's coming up very strongly now is energy efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Walk me through, if you could, what's the environmental repercussion on that life cycle of a BlackBerry?
Tech companies are paying a lot more attention to that full life cycle, not just looking at, oh boy, how do we recycle this thing at the end of its life, but going right back to the design stage mm-hmm. and getting their environmental teams involved in the design to say, hey, instead of using a screw there, couldn't we use a snap-tight fitting? Mm-hmm. You know, save a material there. What about taking it apart? What about if we are going to refurbish and reuse it? How do we do those sort of things? Mm-hmm. Those sort of things, I think that's part of the shift that's going on is that there is that full life cycle appreciation of the product. Then as it moves through its stages, you're looking at reuse possibly after the first user is done with it. Is there mm-hmm. a reuse market and what are the opportunities there? And then in the recycling stage, recognizing that responsible recycling does cost money. Mm-hmm. That even though I think there's a misnomer out there that there's a gold mine in old electronics, there are valuable metals and plastics and glass. But to responsibly recycle it properly in Canada, it's mm-hmm. going to cost money. Mm-hmm. And I think companies have come to that realization and are ready to invest in it. Mm-hmm. And governments have certainly realized that. And that's why we're seeing a whole host of regulations coming mm-hmm. through at the provincial level requiring those kind of programs to be in place.
Right. You're saying that there are some regulations that are already in place. Could you give us an example of some of those?
Sure. You're seeing provinces like Alberta, British Columbia, Saskatchewan. They've already moved forward on regulations requiring industry to take responsibility for their products at the end of their life. And mm-hmm. the basic premise is you put it into the market, you take it out. Mm-hmm. And then on a monthly basis, they'll need to report on sales of the obligated products. Mm-hmm. There's an environmental handling fee that's usually put on in the front end of those purchases of those products. So there's a fairly complicated reporting structure that needs mm-hmm. to go on at the provincial level. The other thing that we're seeing in some of the regulations, like British Columbia is a good example, is they're not only interested in terms of what you're doing to support the recycling part of the equation, mm-hmm. but what are we doing around design for the environment? Things like chemical management, mm-hmm. trying to reduce the number of lead and cadmium, mercury, those kind of materials in their products. Trying to look at energy efficiency, enhance mm-hmm. energy efficiency. Trying to build design for the recycling mm-hmm. right into the product, right at the front end. Governments want industry to report on that. They mm-hmm. want to make sure that we're not just trying to clean up the mess at the back end, but mm-hmm. we're doing a better job at reducing the environmental footprint of our mm-hmm. products right up front. I think that the more IT companies are aware and knowledgeable of being able to assemble the information that's within the company mm-hmm. and report on it and have a reporting mechanism, I think that's a good investment to mm-hmm. make now.
What has the response been? What are you seeing among your member organizations? Are they voluntarily stepping up? Yeah. What are you seeing?
So our organization, the 24 companies that I represent, mm-hmm. have voluntarily stepped up, and that's why they formed EPSC, was because they are environmental leaders and they want to show some leadership and mm-hmm. say, you know, we're taking a leadership role here. We're not just waiting for regulation and then mm-hmm. responding to it. We want to actually be part and parcel of the plan mm-hmm. development as it moves forward. I think in the programs that have rolled out in provinces like Alberta and British Columbia and Saskatchewan now, there's been very little pushback. I think mm-hmm. companies understand it. There has to be a little bit of hand-holding to get the message across about why this is important. Mm-hmm. Level playing field is a huge issue. Yeah. I think once companies understand this isn't just, I'm not just being picked on here, but it's across the whole sector,
right.
then I think it's a message that mm-hmm. that is sellable and one that's easy to understand.
Right. Let's look at it from a different lens. Let's talk about investors for a few minutes. Big investment firms are now getting into the game. Mm-hmm. There is Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, looking at a company's global footprint or carbon footprint as a criteria for whether the company is worthy to be invested in. Now, that is a big shift.
Yep.
There is the Carbon Disclosure Project, which represents trillions of dollars of institutional investors. What are you seeing from that, from that aspect?
I think what you're seeing now with this whole corporate social responsibility move and, mm-hmm. and sort of the green and sustainability approaches that we're seeing is the fact that, you know, not only from an investor point of view, but from a consumer point of view, this is something that would put our company in good stead. And mm-hmm. it helps our brand to say, hey, we're a good environmental actor. We're stepping up. We're participating in these provincial programs. We're trying to do a better job at designing our products. Mm-hmm. We're paying attention to things like energy efficiency. All those kind of things, I think, are starting to shift. And so mm-hmm. that's why I think from the investment side, they're looking for those kind of signals.
I guess the last part of this equation is the consumer demand. And if I was in marketing, say, taking that market opportunity, that consumer demand, all the way back into the R&D process so that you can show as a company that not only are we being responsible at the end of the life cycle, but our products are designed more responsibly from the ground up. That's an ideal scenario, but is that what you're seeing?
And it's happening. It's happening on two fronts. Yeah. I think the consumer market, they're becoming more savvy. They can separate out that greenwash. They mm-hmm. can say, you know, well, okay, so you recycle your products. Where do you recycle them? How do you recycle them? You know, what really happens? How much goes to landfill? Mm-hmm. So I think the consumer segment is becoming more savvy on that mm-hmm. side. On the other end, there's a number of standards that are coming out now. There's one in the U.S. called EPEAT. And EPEAT has started to move forward to become a de facto standard in terms of green electronics. Mm-hmm. And it has a number of different measures that companies have to pre-qualify their products on. It's a set environmental standard that they've put through the American Standards Association. And so what then that does now for a purchaser, especially for a purchaser of a large amount of electronics, is it gives them a tool, a green mm-hmm. procurement tool, to be able to say, I want to make sure that any of the purchases I'm making, and, you know, sometimes we're talking hundreds or thousands of electronics at once, mm-hmm. Have as little environmental impact as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, new regulations, meaning new business opportunities for the electronics industry. Jay Illingworth, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Are you a performance manager? Learn how to be one with The Performance Manager, the latest business book from Cognos, PMSI, and BI International. The Performance Manager explores the key challenges in core business functions, sales, marketing, finance, product development, and HR, and describes proven ways you can improve performance in each using sweet spots of information. Become a Performance Manager today. Order your free copy of the book online at www.cognos.com/PMBook. That's cognos.com/PMBook.
Well, that's a wrap. I'd like to thank our guest today, Andrew Winston, our technology soup panel of Don Campbell, Stefan Zhu, and Andrew Cowell, and from Electronics Product Stewardship Canada, Jay Illingworth. A special thanks as well to our contributing producers, Kelsey Howarth and Delaney Turner. Thanks to producer and audio engineer Derek Schrainer, who composes all the original music you hear on BI Radio, and for making us sound so good. A reminder to check us out at RadioCognos.com, where you can listen to previous shows, download individual segments, and view the transcript of each broadcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Ken Seeley. We'll see you in about 6 weeks.